Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the northwest region of Arkansas. I'm so glad that you tuned in this morning. We have a very, very important time on the air this morning to really address some very important issues, I believe, life and death. And I want to just let you know that at 9:30 this morning, at the bottom of the hour, I will have a dear friend of ours, Joy Polydor, will be joining us on the air to talk about her upcoming trip to Africa and some of the things God is doing in her life. And I want to spend these next moments with you and talk about something that is really razor's edge. And you would think that the only right thing to do is just don't say anything, you know, just hesitate on this, don't talk about it, you know, just kind of let it be. But I don't think we could afford to do that right now because, the truth has to come forth. You want the truth. I want the truth. And I believe that there are people everywhere that want the truth. We want to know the truth. Truth is not an easy thing to find unless you know exactly where to go to find it, and that's in the Word of God. And so I believe that all truth has to emanate out from God's Word first. Now, put this down. These are critical keys in my understanding. God's word is where truth will be found as the Holy Spirit brings it forth and the Holy Spirit enlightens the word of God. And then, you know, everything else beyond that that complements that word is important. And then we could talk about those things. Today, number one, I believe that the church in America predominantly, okay, and this is certainly not a limitation, but in the United States of America, because of our advanced technology and ability to spread the gospel all over the world, we're very influential. I believe that we're living in a modern day showdown between the prophets of Baal and the prophets of God, the true prophets of God. And you and I need to understand that this battle originated with the prophet Elijah. You remember on Mount Carmel, there were 850 false prophets of Baal and Jezebel that had spun a spell upon the mind of the children of Israel. And they were steeped in deception and lies and darkness. And by the time the prophet of God Elijah showed up on the scene, these people were silent. They were confused. They didn't really have any answers whatsoever. And so the commencing of this great end time battle, if you will, this prophetic battle where the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Jezebel versus Elijah. You know the story that Elijah, his God prevailed, Yahweh, the true God. And the prophets of Baal wound up cutting themselves, shedding their blood all over their altars, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of the day, Elijah takes the false prophets down into the caves and hacks them to pieces. So today, it may not seem as physical a battle, but it is yet a battle for light and darkness, for truth and deception. We are living in a modern day showdown. You turn on the internet, you look at YouTube, you see different prophetic voices. You see, Mark Taylor is a huge voice on the internet today. And I'll explain just a little bit who Mark Taylor is in a moment. And then you see another voice, Jonathan Kahn. And Jonathan Kahn is another voice out there that a lot of people are listening to. And then you have this Sadhu Sundar. And Sadhu is now making a move on the internet around the world with his prophetic words. And so, and there are many others. There are many other voices that are proclaiming the days that we're living in. And the problem is that the voices are not consistent. The message of these prophets are not the same. There, it is not a clarion call, but there is a difference. And you could get onto the television prophets on TBN. You could go to Daystar. You could hear all kinds of voices. And I have been praying about this because we have a voice on the Omega Radio Network. We have a voice on AMFM radio. And in our little church, we have a voice. And regardless, big or small, when we speak, we are held accountable for the things that we say. And I believe in that very, very much. And I have been praying and seeking the truth to understand, because when I hear or read anything from Mark Taylor, it is an amazing story. There is no doubt in my mind that the story that Mark Taylor has told is nothing short of amazing. And it's all about an epiphany that he received back in 2011 that Donald Trump would be the next president of the United States of America, and how under Donald Trump's administration, America would be made great again, really, if you just summarize everything he said, that there would be respect and honor. And America would be the most prosperous, most powerful nation on the earth again. There'd be this total, complete turnaround. And in the midst of it, there'd be a lot of upheavals. He said it wouldn't be easy, but this whole thing is about bringing America back to its former glory and even greater than any other time in the history of the world. And so Mark Taylor is traveling all over the world, and he's bringing his message. And what's giving it influence is that it was supposedly written in 2011. It was given to Don Colbert and his wife, and Don Colbert is a guy that's all over the world with his health products, and she was given this to read, and I don't know what year it was in, but when she got it, she began to tell everybody about this, and so there seems to be a tremendous amount of activity in this direction, and of course, Donald Trump became president, and many things that Mark wrote about are all around us. They're swirling. It's very powerful. There's no doubt about it. And Mark, his continual theme is that anybody that is on the wrong frequency is a gloom and doom prophet, which leads us to the next major voice in the world today, in the prophetic community, which is Prophet Sadhu Sundar Savaraj. Now, Prophet Sadhu Sundar Savaraj is the guy that prophesied the major flood down in Houston and a massive earthquake that will happen in California. And he's saying that there is the false prophet of those that are crying feel-good messages, peace and safety, that the angel of the Lord, the very similitude of Christ, spoke to him about the coming persecution and how the people are not prepared and how Christ wept because of the lack of preparation. So you have a dichotomy here. You have two major voices that are traveling and traversing the earth. And so, you know, when I was looking at both sides, like the children of Israel, you could look, it's like watching a tennis match. Well, you know, which way is this going? What is the truth? And a lot of people just give up on things and they throw in the towel, which, by the way, is exactly what the devil is trying to do. So in my prayers and contemplation and consideration about all of these things, as a seeker of the truth, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit gave me a scripture, and I went back to the scripture and I studied it. And again, my idea is not to just bolster what I believe, not to just justify my own belief system. I could care less, quite frankly. I mean, I want to be accurate, and I want to believe in what I'm saying and the prophetic, you know, unction that Father God has given unto me to minister. And, you know, when you're traveling at 300 miles an hour, you don't want to make a mistake on a windy road. You're going to wipe out. So, you know, this is a very critical moment because we're in the last days and there's a tremendous amount of deception. And so people are asking basically about the United States of America. Is it going to become the greatest nation again? Is it going to be great? And all of these things restored and abundant and prosperous and powerful and ordained by the glory of God? Or is America being set up for the greatest slaughter of its citizenry in its history? And so looking for the truth, not trying to justify anything, but praying, God, what is the truth? Well, these scriptures came to mind, and you'll remember the story. It's out of Jeremiah chapter 28. But a little bit of background, what is basically happening, as you know, the prophet Jeremiah has been prophesying for many, many chapters and has been warning the children of Israel about the coming invasion and how Nebuchadnezzar was going to destroy Israel. And the call was to repentance. And yet there were some people fighting against the prophetic mantle on Jeremiah. And there were prophets by the name of Haniel. There were patriots. There were politicians. There were priests. And there seemed to be a community of individuals that were making the Israeli people believe that the words of Jeremiah were not true. And so by the time we get to Jeremiah chapter 28, let me just read this briefly. And it says this: it came to pass, and I'm in verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 28. It came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spoke unto me in the house of the Lord. Speaking of Jeremiah. He spoke unto Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priest and of all the people, saying, so you have to get this in your imagination. This prophet, Hananiah, is now before all the people. He's before the priest. He's in the chamber. Jeremiah is there. And in verse 2, he said, Hananiah said, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. So Hananiah's prophecy is all about restoration, bringing things back to their former glory. Restoring, you know, leadership, restoring, you know, all the stuff that's been taken away. And he's prophesying in 2 years, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so in the next verses, verse 5, it says, then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. So Jeremiah basically, as we're going to see, is kind of mocking this word of Hananiah, the prophet. He's prophesying prosperity. He's saying it's going to be great again. He's saying it's all good. Verse 7, Jeremiah continues, nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people, the prophets that have been before me. So this is Jeremiah telling the story now. He said, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. So in other words, there's a prophet prophesying of peace, and then there are the prophets that were before Jeremiah that prophesied of war, evil, pestilence. And when the war, evil, and pestilence came to pass, those prophets that were prophesying peace and restoration and everything's okay were found out. Verse 10. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, so here's the word of the Lord to Jeremiah now. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but thou makest thy this people, you're making this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. You see, the word of God proclaims that in the last days there will be great deception, and the deception will come from the false prophets who prophesy peace and safety. That is a consistent theme for a prophet of God today to stand up and proclaim war, pestilence, and evil is a seal of their true prophetic mantle. Why? Because a nation has murdered hundreds of millions of innocent babies, promoted homosexuality and lesbianism, has suffocated the people in pornography, drowned the environment in a psychological impact that is so damnable. And so only a true prophet would say, like the prophets before, evil, war, pestilence is the result of the actions. A false prophet will come with an enticing message and tell everybody peace and safety. Cause the people to trust in a lie. Everything's going to come back to its former glory. Everything is going to be okay. In 2 years, this yoke is going to be broken. The economy is going to be great. America will be great again. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a pure biblical sign of error. That is a pure biblical sign of a lying spirit in the mouth of a prophet to tell the nation that has sinned grossly against the Lord that everything's going to be okay. And you know the people that want to hear the false message the most are the most greedy, covetous, self-centered people on the planet, because they want their greed and their covetousness demands met. They want to feel good. They want to live life to the full. They desire these things. And at the expense of recognizing the true justice of God, the holiness of God, the reality of God. And so back in 2003, when God spoke to this man and said, America has crossed the point of no return. America will never return. Well, it's interesting that since 2003, all the way to where we are 14 years later down the road, that America has never returned and has gone deeper into sin. But now all of a sudden we have a candidacy that's running on making America great again. And we have these guys calling themselves prophets that are saying God told them everything's going to be restored in 2 years. In a couple of years, the administration will be great and he'll go on for another 4 years. We're in a 4-year reprieve. Where is that message coming from? And so what God is going to do is he's going to allow another great strike against this nation. And those prophets of doom and gloom that are being ridiculed and mocked are going to be justified and vindicated by God, because the biblical reality is always when a nation sins against God, you never prophesy peace and safety and everything is okay. Even while they're still murdering babies, even while they're still evil in the land, and yet the people are learning to trust a lie. It is something that I'm going to have to take before the Lord, and I have. And I'm making my determination here of what's going on, but I could see the influence. So I trust that the Spirit of God spoke. Now, Let's address doomed prophets. They always get mocked. You know, somebody preaches evil, war, pestilence, destruction. You know, they're gloom and doom. They're in a satanic frequency. Well, I got news for all these guys, and this is what Mark Taylor says a lot. He says they're in an evil, negative frequency of the devil. Well, then you're calling God the devil because God's prophets warned of evil, pestilence, and destruction in times past. They were not picking up on a demonic frequency. They were in the very frequency of the heart of justice and righteousness, not in your fickle little feel-good things. Come on. Now, I don't mean to get upset with anybody, but the truth has to be known. Being a prophet today, standing up in America and proclaiming the disasters that are coming is not a satanic frequency. That is the frequency of divine justice and divine righteousness. And so, but the people are swallowing up. These guys are making millions and millions and millions of dollars through their books, and people are following their books and reading their books. And yet the pure, unadulterated word of God coming from the scriptures couldn't be any clearer that no true prophet of God would bless this nation. No true prophet of God would say, the yoke is coming off and everything's going to get better. Just give it some time. God's in control. Yeah, God is in control. And so now comes the time. Now comes the reality. And I rebuke the false prophecies that are going on over the airwaves and the people that are swallowing it up, and then they hear messages like this and they get confused. Well, which way do I go? I'll tell you which way to go. Bury your head in the Word of God and study the Word of God, and you will know exactly where we are. Now, on the other side of the coin, I have no problem in ministering and equipping the saints of God with the message of the kingdom of heaven. I believe the things that I've spoken in the last month over prophetic writings are true, but they have nothing to do with making America great, the rebellious Babylonian nation in the world today, the seat of idolatry, the most horrible ills that come from this nation and spread across the nations of the earth. No, the speaking of the equipping of the saints to be able to stand strong, to have heaven's power, to be able to, you know, just stand in the midst of the coming flood. That is imperative, to impart the revelation, the wisdom that you are on assignment. God has a purpose for your life. God will bless you, and God will take care of you and protect you. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That there is a dispensational shift. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But you're going to remain in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. You're going to heal the sick and raise the dead. That is gospel. That has nothing to do with America. That is the kingdom of God manifesting through the church of Jesus Christ. And it's so simple. So we're not speaking out of both sides of our mouth. We have a balanced word of judgment upon what is evil and blessing upon that which is representative of God's heart. It's not a big deal. It's light and darkness. It's truth and deception. What side of the day are you on? And if you're on the light side of the day, the right side of the day, the God side of this day, well, he's about to do something outrageously, exceptionally wonderful in your life. I have no problem with that. I believe that with all of my heart. God will transfer wealth to you. He'll put kings down for you. He'll move mountains for you because you're on assignment with the King of Glory, and nobody will touch God's true anointed. But on the other side, you got people that are greedy and covetousness that just want to hear about more good money, more prosperity, make me feel good. I don't want to be afraid. I want to go light a candle and soak in my bathtub so I don't have to hear these bad, negative, doom and gloom things. They're in the wrong frequency. Well, I got news for you. Mark Taylor and anybody else out there that thinks that bringing the word of judgment is a gloom and doom satanic frequency, you do not know the true living God. You do not know him. And I'll tell you this, if you think that's Old Testament stuff, the New Covenant Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians said to the church at Corinth, you need to know the God of the Old Covenant so that you understand how he moves, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even though there's a new covenant, he's the same God. And when a person or a nation sins against him, don't you think that the covenant of grace is just going to cause God to wink an eye and pass over? No. He said, learn from how God dealt with the nations before the new covenant. Learn of God. He is just. And so, you know, this is not the easiest kind of conversation to have, but it is the truth. It is the truth of Almighty God. And so what is the point here? Well, you want to know a little bit about 2018? God is going to bless his people all over the world, and judgment is going to continue to strike the heart of the United States until it is completely destroyed. It will not be great again. The only greatness in this nation will be the greatness of the church, the greatness of the true saints of God, not the institutionalized religious systems of denominationalism. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about men and women of every culture, every tongue, every language, every color. I'm talking about people who have been organically set in the true body of Jesus Christ, not organizational religious structures. Men and women that love Jesus, that love him with their whole heart and are pressing in to embrace him and to be one with him, to love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, to become wise virgins, to pay attention, to study the word of God, to give up the things of the world, to put off the old man, put on the new man. You know, the people that don't want to do that are the very people that want to hear nothing but good news, peace and safety messages. I am thoroughly convinced of this. I have been speaking these things for many, many years, and I refuse right now to be lulled into an idea that, hey, maybe everything is going to be great again because Mark Taylor's saying it and other guys are saying it. It must be true. I don't believe that for a second. And you know why Mark got what he got? I don't know, but I think the fault that he is having is, number one, he's saying things that are so obviously wrong. And the continual theme with Mark in every one of his programs, he's rebuking the gloom and doom prophets who are on the wrong frequency. They have the frequency of the devil because they're saying things like war and pestilence and destruction. And I would have to say, Mark, that is an exposure of your either ignorance or a support of the falsity that you're presenting, because Jeremiah was not on the frequency of the devil when he proclaimed judgment. Neither was Isaiah on the frequency of the devil, and neither was Ezekiel on the frequency of the devil, nor was Moses on the frequency of the devil, nor was Habakkuk or Amos or any Malachi or Micah. None of them, Joel, they were not on the frequency of the devil when they were proclaiming the justice and righteousness of God against a nation whose sins are reeking and oozing out of every fabric of our society. We are blood-stained. We have the dripping blood of the innocent all around us. We promoted things that are so horrible and wicked and diabolical. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry for this thing. I'm sorry that you have been troubled by this back and forth idea, but this is the modern day deal, so it's got to be settled, right? Here's what has to happen. It says in the book of Jeremiah 28, I read it, there's two contending voices, like in the days of Elijah, the big battle. So God's got to respond, right? So is he going to respond? Well, I'll tell you what he did do. Okay, if everything is good and we're on the upswing and on the uptick, you know, Mark Taylor said that the six hurricanes that hit the United States of America back in September, I believe was the month, just a few months ago, he said that was witchcraft. Was it really witchcraft? Or was it, again, God controlling weather, because Houston, Texas is the number one abortion clinic in the country? And I could go on down the list. What's going on in California? Is that witchcraft too? All the burning houses and all the destruction, was that witchcraft? Or is that because there's a promotion on the West Coast of the most demonic evil? So again, the false prophets proclaiming peace and safety, every time something bad happens, that's witchcraft. And then they tell the true prophets of God, who are telling the truth from the word of God, that they're gloom and doom. What a twist. What a twist. And I don't have to be an expert. I don't have to call myself anything. I just bury my head in the word of God, and I study the word of God. And I'm going to leave that there for right now. I've got a dear friend that's going to be calling into the broadcast, and her name is Joy, and I'm going to wait for her to press 1 on the dial pad. I'll bring her in. But in the interim, I would ask you, you know, you just heard this. You're a judge. You have a judicial mindset. So you tell me, has what I just presented to you the truth of God? I believe it is. Am I missing something somewhere? Well, I would love to hear from you at any time during the rest of the broadcast. So, Joy, if you're out there, go ahead and press 1 on the dial pad right now. I'll make sure I bring you into the program. And it looks like this is her right now. So let me just say good morning. God bless you and welcome to the broadcast. Joy Polydor, how are you today?
I am doing wonderful. It's good to be back with you, Pastor Vincent.
Well, it's good to be with you too. Joy, tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world today.
Well, what's going on in my world, is the world of mission. And I've basically been evangelizing. They had a chance last year to go out to South Africa and do some missions in Pretoria, Cape Town, and just absolutely loved it. But my heart was so broken going to orphanages, seeing so many children that are in dire need, Pastor Vincent, of attention and ministries and help in many different capacities, from medical attention to school supplies to clothing, bedding. It's heartbreaking because it doesn't just seem to be in that one area. It's in a number of areas.
Yeah, you know, we constantly on this radio program, I get calls from people from Pakistan, all over the country, wanting us to support their ministry. And I actually had an opportunity a couple of years ago to go to Moyes Bridge, Africa in Kenya. And I remember flying into Nairobi, driving for 7 hours out to Moyes Bridge and meeting the saints of God out there and, you know, sewed into their work. And then the guy that was the head of everything was killed. And then the other people were still wanting us to support their ministry. And I got a little suspicious. And I'm not sure. There is such a need around the world, and there are people that take advantage and exploit those needs. And then, like yourself, you show up and you see it face to face, and we want to help, right? We want to just get in there and say, let us help people, right?
Right. Absolutely. And as I shared with Pastor Patricia, one of the things that I've had an opportunity to do in the past and would love to do in the future is not only build an evangelistic team, but also to build a medical and a dental team that can go and we can work simultaneously while we go and do the work. I know that many of these children need medical attention, medicine. So these are things that we can work with other entrepreneurs in the community who would love to partner with us and help us do something like this. So I really wanted to raise the awareness of this so that those that are hearing us today, even if they have a heart for ministry and missions ministry, but they themselves don't feel led to go, but they want to partner with someone. And like you said, it's easier to partner with someone who you know will go there, will do what they should do, and come back and bring you a report and show you what God has done through collective collaboration.
You know, Joy, Patricia and I have known you for a while, and you have such a gift and such a talent in song and in ministry. And to know now that you're traveling around the world to different places in the work of missions, you know, I believe that missions should always be supported. And I believe that wherever people support missions work, it's always a good thing. And when the missionary is sent and salvation comes, we're told in the scriptures that if one soul will come to faith, and, you know, these little children are watching, and you plant that little seed in that little heart of that little child, and they become, you know, a full-blown, eternal-lifed individual that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is a very profound and powerful thing. And so tell us about the name of your ministry. Tell us about where you're going next.
Well, the name of my ministry is Greater Works and Word Ministries, based out of Texas. But, of course, it's based out of wherever the Lord leads me, right?
Right.
However, my next trip will be Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I would love to go in August of this year working with Pastor Julian. This is a younger pastor, and Pastor Julian has an orphanage with about 65 children. And Pastor Vincent, my heart was broken when Pastor Julian shared with me over the last 3 years how he and his family and the church are supporting this orphanage basically from the church. They're not receiving any governmental assistance. So wherever they can get any help, it is like a miracle. But when they share pictures with me of these children, like all these bowls on the floor, like you're feeding pets, no bedding, very little clothing. He shared with me that most of these children either have a mother, no father, a father, no mother, or no parents. So they're having to be a lot of things to these little children. And it's just heartbreaking when you see it. But I know we can't do everything, and I know, but every little bit helps. And I think that's where I'd like to step in. And I know there's others that feel the same way and have the same passion. And we all have different giftings, whether it's medical, dental, evangelistic, like you said, ministry of song that brings healing to the hurting. And that's what we want to do. And Pastor Vincent, I will tell you this also. When I went to South Africa and I saw how many people were one, just walking the streets, just evangelizing, winning souls from every different direction, to any believer, that's exhilarating to continue to ask people, can I tell you about the gospel? Can I share Christ with you? And I found so many people were open to it. And I never took for granted that someone knew Christ. Because just because they look like it, just because they're in a church or under a tent or in some particular environment, and I just saw a lot of people that were overtaken by a lot of spirits. And what was more amazing is that it was infiltrated even in the church and even in leadership. So there's a whole lot of levels of demonic warfare that individuals have to deal with. So it takes a lot of prayer. So it's not just money. It's not just support. Really, you need an intercessory team that even if you can't give or you can't support or you can't go, it is my earnest plea this morning that you would pray for me and others that are in the field or going into the field from time to time to do this work.
Well, amen, Joy. And what I would like to do, I know you want to take your trip in August, and so what we'll do is we'll get some information about the orphanage. I'll talk to Kyle. We'll get it put up on our website at the Omega Radio Network, and we'll continue to dialogue as we go between now and then on the Omega Radio Network. We could bring some updates, and maybe our listening audience to this radio station, we will band together and begin to support that work. Let's find out a little bit more about it. Let's find out what the needs really are and how we can support it.
Okay.
We'll put that to to the task.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Pastor Vincent. We want to wish everybody out there a happy new year.
Amen, Joy. God bless you, and thanks for joining us. And I'll be in touch with you, and we'll get things rolling.
Sounds great. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay. Shalom. All right, so Joy Polydor, she's been in our church, and she is one of the most gifted ministers in music I think I've ever met, ever. And she could just sing and begin to worship and prophesy, and she's got a real gift, and she's a very powerful woman. She truly is, and she's traveling around. There's an orphanage in Haiti, and I know Haiti's not easy territory. There's a lot of people taken advantage of over there, as I understand it. And to have a missionary and a church laboring with 65 children, maybe that's a good start for our Omega Radio family to consider and contemplate. I'll make sure I get the information. I'll put it up on our website, and we'll take it from there. Joy Polydor. So, all right, let's get back now to what we were talking about. The lines are open, 818-369-0326. And if you do want to call in and share anything about what I said, fine. But I also have a clip from a gentleman that I believe is on track, and I want to share the clip with you. So if you'll hold tight right now, what I'll do is just bring the prophet Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj to hear his brief message. Here it is.
We were in Jerusalem, Israel, to conduct our annual prophetic conference there. And on the third day of the conference, as I was going to go up to minister, while the worship leader was singing the last song, there was such an unusual glory of God that came and filled the entire auditorium. And I knelt down to worship the Lord. And when I did, I saw the similitude of the Lord Jesus come and stand beside me. And he spoke this word: persecution and martyrdom is coming, but my people are not ready. And when the Lord spoke those words, tears rolled down his eyes like waters. And I looked at into his face, there was great sorrow. And he repeated those words: persecution and martyrdom is coming, but my people are not ready. Now, what does that mean? If you are not ready, it simply means you are going to deny your faith. Instead of standing bold for the Lord, you will just fall away. You will chicken out for fear of your life. I always tell this true incident that took place in Russia during the communist regime. 7 pastors were arrested and they were mercilessly tortured for a long time. And those 7 pastors never blinked an eye, even though they were badly beaten until their whole body was blue and black. And those pastors remained firm and strong, each one of them encouraging one another. None of them denied the Lord. So finally, the captain decided to either break their resolution or kill them. So they were stripped naked and they were made to march from their camp out in the cold, in the coldest part of Siberia. You know, Siberia is the coldest place on this world. And this was in the winter. So they were all marching naked. And they came to a pond. And the 7 pastors were commanded to go waist deep into the icy cold pond. And this captain also had 7 pairs of very warm clothing put directly in front of the pastors on the land. And then he had a fire made for them and 7 bottles of vodka and cigars for them. And he sat on a very nice comfortable chair, smoking his cigar, drinking his vodka, very warmly clothed with his thick Russian fur. And his pastors, every one of them stood in the water. And do you know, I'm sure you know, that when you are standing in cold water, your blood will begin to freeze up. You know, I'm sure you know that, right? So these pastors were all standing there and they begin to feel their blood drying up little by little. And every now and then, the captain will shout at the pastors, "Any one of you want to deny the Lord Jesus? Why are you so foolish? Deny him. Come out. Put on these clothes. Have a vodka. Have a cigar. And keep yourselves warm." None of the pastors batted an eye. But he would just throw this invitation every few minutes. After about half an hour, he began to see that the pastors were turning blue. They were going to die now. At this moment, something supernatural took place. This captain, this communist atheist captain, saw with his own naked eyes 7 angels come down from heaven and they stood directly above each pastor. And the 7 angels had crowns in their hands for each pastor. And this captain was dumbfounded, looking at all this, and was wondering what in the world is all this. And the angel just stood calmly, perfectly quiet above each pastor, and they were waiting for a signal from God when to put the crown on their heads. And just as each pastor would fall down dead, these angels will put the crown on their heads. So the synchronization was, as soon as they were about to die, the angel would put the crown. So the first pastor died, the second pastor died, the third pastor died, the fourth pastor died, the fifth pastor died, the sixth pastor died. And the captain was shocked to see all this, but something stranger was happening to the seventh pastor. He looked at the angel was going up and coming down, going up and coming down. So this captain was wondering, what's wrong with this 70 angel? Where all the other six angels were very disciplined. Why is this seventh angel playing games, going up, coming down, going up, coming down? He didn't know what was happening. And the reason was because each time the angel went up, that was the time the pastor was thinking in his heart, shall I deny Christ? So when he entertained that thought, the angel would go up. Because he was going to deny. If he's going to deny, you don't get the crown. But each time when the pastor said, no, I will not deny, the angel would come down. So the yo-yo of the angel was a reflection of the heart attitude of the pastor. It went on for several times, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down. Finally, the pastor said, I deny Jesus Christ. I don't want Jesus. I don't believe in him anymore. I believe in Marxism. I believe in communism. And he came running out of the water and he put on the warm clothes. He took a cigar and he began to drink vodka. Captain stood there, shocked and wondering what was all happening. And something happened inside him. He removed his clothes and he said, I believe that Jesus is the Lord and Christ. So he ran right to the very spot where the seventh pastor stood and he lifted up his hands and he said, I believe that Jesus is the Lord. And the angel put the crown in his head and the captain died. You know what this shows? Matthew 24:13. He that endures till the end, only he shall be saved. You must endure till the end, till the last breath that you have. You keep your faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Keep the faith until your last breath. See? So, in present day, charismatic Christianity, with all the wonderful blessings that we are enjoying every day, with all the comforts, is the church ready for persecution? With all the seeker-friendly teachings that are going around everywhere now, with all the hyper-grace teachings that are flooding the whole world right now, make me feel good messages, make me feel good prayers. You just want to flock to meetings where you all are given a personal word of prophecy about blessing. And you wouldn't mind lining up and giving $100 each. You wouldn't mind doing all that. In the midst of such Christianity, how will you stand when the fire comes? You will be the first one to run away from the fire. You know, the Bible prophesies about a great falling away that will take place in the last days. That great falling away is the goats that will fall away. That falling away are the company of foolish virgins. That falling away is the bundles of tares that will be bounded and be cast away. So the question is, on which group are you? Are you in the foolish virgin's company or in the wise virgin's company? Are you in the wheat company or the tares company? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Which you are, or what you are inside, only the fire will tell you. So tribulation is coming. It will come like birth pangs. My people must learn to hide in the days of evil and trouble. So what is a birth pang? A birth pang, now all married women who have given birth to a child, you will understand this better than any other person on this earth. A birth pang is a regularly recurrent spasm of pain that is characteristic of childbirth. Long before childbirth, there are labor pains. The labor pains are labor pains intensity, frequency and duration is less intense and less painful. But when the time comes near to the birthing of the child, then the labor pain increases in tension, in frequency, in duration, and in pain. Am I right, everybody? So all women who have given birth, you will agree with me that this is what a birth pang is. Now, keeping that in mind, now I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, and we will look at verse 8. Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. And the Lord Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, this phrase or this scripture is translated like this in the Amplified Bible. All this is but the beginning, the early pains of the birth pangs of the intolerable anguish. Now, that is very scary. A great intolerable. It does not even say it's tolerable. It says it's intolerable anguish is coming. And these birth pangs are the beginnings of that intolerable anguish. And the New Living Translation translates the scripture like this. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. So with this understanding, let's look at this scripture again. In the King James Bible, it says, all these are beginnings of sorrows. Now, in that scripture, there are two important words that we want to pay attention to. The two words are beginning and sorrows. The word beginning in Greek is arche. And the word arche means a commencement in order of time. It's a commencement. So this signals the beginning. So when you see all these events taking place, it tells you that it has begun. Secondly, the word sorrows in the Greek is Odin. And the word Odin means a pang, pain, sorrow, travail of childbirth. And the word pangs, the dictionary defines it as a sudden strong feeling or emotion of sadness or pain. So put together, this is not good. Right? It's not good. But the Lord Jesus said, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. These are the birth pangs that are going to come. Now, the birth pangs is composed of two stages. One is the beginning early stage, which is less painful. And that is this last days in which we are living right now. The second stage is just before the baby is born, where the pains will increase for the birthing of what the Bible calls the birthing of the man child. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. Now, what the man child is, we will look at it later on.
All right, there you have it. The prophet Sadhu Sundar is bringing a message, and I think the complimentary way to leave the airwaves today is to say that in light of what you just heard, you know, the beginning of sorrows and then it intensifies. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 28, the wooden bondage, okay, that he spoke about, the wooden snare that was on his life, the wooden yoke exchanged for an iron yoke. And if I understand, and if we are on the right track, and what I say right now is extremely, not risky, but it is extremely important to get it right. If I would give you a word for what is going to happen in the year 2018, I would tell you that what you can expect in 2018 is that it will be a year of the iron yoke for America. And in the year 2018, you will witness the death of false prophets. Why do I say that? Because that is Jeremiah chapter 28. Now, the enemy will do his worst to continue the deception in the lives of God's children. I believe that we separated this enough for right now, for contemplation, for prayer, for judiciary mindsets. And I believe this is a critical hour for you, for me, for the Church of Jesus Christ, because we are living in the days of great deception. I believe that what has been shared with you today is the truth. It is not coming from our own inner self. It's coming directly from the Word of God on how God deals with particular issues. So having said that, I'm going to give way to Patricia Joy Xavier, but I do have a minute or so. And if you do have something that you would like to share, something you'd like to say at this moment about this message today, you are welcome to do so. And if not, we're going to continue on here on the Omega Radio Network. I'm going to give place to Patricia Joy as she brings her Friday edition of Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Stay tuned, because here comes one of those dynamic splitting, that sharp sword, severing and cutting away truth from lies ministry. We'll be right back after this brief break. Hi, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Paul and I want to personally thank you for tuning in and listening to The Watchman. We depend on you to help spread the word and support our radio ministry. There are four ways you could get involved right away. Number one, pray. Nothing moves mountains like the prayerful support of the saints. Second, help spread the word. Share the URL, omegaradio.org, with your friends on Facebook and through your email. Tell them you're listening like your life depends on it, and they should too. Third, you can partner with us. If this program ministers to you, then click the Donate tab and prayerfully consider a donation to help us expand this program and build our radio studio. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, every dollar will be used to better equip you, the saints. Just go to our Donate tab on the homepage. We thank you in advance, and may God richly bless you.
Do you enjoy listening to The Watchman? It's our goal on each and every show to interpret the latest news and events through a biblical lens, but we're not alone. In fact, we have an army of like-minded radio hosts, ministers, and prophets to better equip you, God's people, to learn and take action when and where it's needed. Click the lineup tab on our homepage to see a full listing of daily programs. Whether it's Rick Wiles on True News or Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ, we work together to bring you Omega Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world. Please join our effort to help spread the word and support this radio ministry. Send us an email and tell us what's on your mind and how this network is ministering to you. Then call into The Watchman weekdays 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time and join the conversation. We want to know what you think. The number to call is 818-369-0326, then hit 1, or go back to omegaradio.org and hit the call-in button, then press 1.
Hello, hello, hello. Oh, my goodness, one more time. Which way do we decide for our lives? It is interesting the amount of different opinions that are coming and moving through the airwaves. And we do have to make decisions that are wise because we are at a time like no other. And we are going to be tried. We are going to be tested in what decisions we do make as to what is truth and what is not. That is why it is so imperative to understand spiritual warfare, because that is exactly where we're at right now. And I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. And why did I write this book? So we may understand the wiles of the enemy, how to determine whether or not what we're doing is true, what we're believing is right. And this is imperative, absolutely imperative for the times we are in. And body of Christ and those that are listening without, realize that the enemy is extremely clever and able to deceive so easily if we don't understand by the Holy Spirit the truth of God's word. So many Christians are trying to outsmart the devil in their natural minds, in their natural thinking, and through their physical strength, they are trying to stop the advances of Satan. And that's where we see the riots and what have you. Beloved, there is not enough strength in the natural mind to stop Satan. The only way to stop him is through the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, through supernatural, through the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we must be aware first of the cunning actions of the enemy upon the church and the true Christian body of Christ. He has the others already deceived, but he is after anyone who carries that seed, that precious seed within them, the seed of Jesus Christ, by and through the Holy Spirit. And we must be guided and directed in this truth by the word of God, which is a light, a lamp unto our feet, if we understand the word in spirit and in truth. And one of the first things Jesus instructed us to do in his name was to recognize the ways of the enemy and cast out devils. This is a mandate for everyone. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. It is not just for the apostles when and the disciples of 2,000 years ago when they walked the face of the earth. No, 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 no. The word is clear about it. Jesus said, "What I do, you shall do also. Even greater things shall you do." Why? Because I go to the Father and I send the Holy Spirit unto you, who will guide and direct your path. And it is clear in Mark 16:16 and 17 and 18 that the believers shall cast out devils. Read it for yourself. It didn't say apostles. It didn't say disciples, though you are a disciple of God if you walk in his path and direction. But he said the believers, those who truly believe, shall cast out devils, shall heal the sick, like our Lord Jesus Christ did. Not just apostles, not just disciples, though they're not just, they're incredible, but they alone. No, it is given to all those who believe. And we are instructed in his name to cast them out. The key is to be fully knowledgeable, fully aware of our authority as believers and as adopted sons of God through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus in 13 and 14 says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That alone deserves chapters and chapters of study. But in his name, we would ask in his name, and we would receive in his name whatsoever we shall ask. If you ask anything in my name, he said, I will do it. And in the original Greek verse 14, up 14, it literally means whatever you demand in my name, I will see to it that it is backed up. How about that? For absolute authority. So you see, you have the authority. You have it. And Jesus has promised this to us as children of God, because we must receive it and we must act upon it. And the time is now. We must stand. We must, knowing that we have the power and the authority through his promise and his righteousness. Otherwise, we will be afflicted with mortal and spiritual wounds and never realize the victory was already won for us at Calvary. Is that clear? Is that true for you? And that's why I wrote Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I want us to look into the Word of God and the depths of that Word, the Word in which we have been given in the Bible, and to study it and show ourselves approved, a workman unashamed. And how important is that for the moment we are in, for the hour we are in, for the time we are in, trying to make rightful decisions on what is true and what is not true regarding prophecy, regarding understanding of government, all the things necessary for our own lives in regarding an overcoming life for ourselves. If you are righteous because the blood of Christ has cleansed you, and because you desire not to practice sin, you will find your authority in the name of Jesus come alive in you, and you will supernaturally know that all the power of heaven is backing you up. And again, I mentioned Mark 16:17. Jesus wants us to be free from the works of the devil in our lives and then spread that good news to others so that they will know and understand the power in which they have been granted if they believe through our Lord Jesus Christ, and they will not be afraid, as which has been mentioned by other prophets. They will not coward. They will know who they are, and they will rise to the occasion, because there will be an elect few that will understand the power and the wisdom of God, and they will rise up to the occasion, and they will cast out devils, and they will be backed by heavenly hosts. We know in our heart of hearts that Satan is no match for our beloved Jesus. We begin to understand that. We will stand so powerful, so strong, that that light will blind the eyes of those who are in darkness. And they will believe and understand that they see a great light. And that great light will be you and I, a light on the hill and it will be a lamp to the multitudes, and it will not be covered by a shade, but shine so brightly and so great that many will come to it, and you will have opportunity to minister life and truth and the power of deliverance. We know that God gave Jesus a name at Calvary that is above every name. But church, we must receive this truth through faith. Faith in what Jesus has already demonstrated to us in the scriptures. We know that his ways are infallible. If we believe, if we understand, if we have knowledge, for my people perish from a lack of it. They perish. They leave from a lack of knowledge in what they have been given and have been granted. Now, in this day, mysteries are being unveiled. The Lord is allowing this, and he is giving this in his glorious joy, in glorious joy to his children, to his body, at this evil time we're in, because it'll be so dark, so evil, that never has the earth known such, even in the days of Noah, according to scripture. So what side of the day are you on? What do you believe? Do you have the wisdom of God? Do you have the anointed power to cast out devils in your life and in others? Has this been granted unto you? Well, according to the word of God, it has been. You know, we just must remember that we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against demonic spirits. Even in our decision to understand the truth of who is a true prophet and who is not, we are against demonic spirits, spirit beings, spiritual entities without physical bodies. We can't see them, but they are real. However, alive and existing in the spirit realm, and they have been released because they know their time is short to do evil against all who do not realize and understand spiritual warfare. And they will be issued an attack. Does that mean they lose their salvation? No. But they will be powerless. To say that there is no power in Satan at this moment is not speaking the truth. How about his power to deceive? The greatest power is to deceive. To compare Satan's power with that of Jesus' power is, of course, like comparing night and day. Satan pales in comparison to our Lord. Be aware that in our natural strength, we are no match for the deceptive powers of Satan. Be aware. I have written this time and time again. However, as we move in the knowledge and strength of our Lord by the leading of the Holy Spirit, Satan is no match for us. Angels of God will back us up. He will back us up. They will back us up. You have an angel. I have an angel. We will be backed up. But do we understand that? Do we know? Many have seen and experienced the work of angels in their life. And though we are not to be dependent on all of the angels to do that work for us, because it is our decision which way we go, the angels will be there for us, however. And it was Jesus who defeated Satan on Calvary, not Satan who defeated Christ. He's been defeated, but he will come to deceive because he hasn't yet been thrown into the pit for eternity, that fiery pit. Satan who defeated Christ? No, it is Christ who defeated Satan, and it is Jesus' victory over the devil that gives us victory over the powers of darkness. Praise God. This is not a natural victory. It is a supernatural victory that we have. But we must be aware of it. We must have knowledge of it. We must understand the victory that we have been granted. We must put it into our spirit man and hold on to it tightly. For Christ in us will do the work if we allow it to happen. We are fighting against the powers, against master spirits who are world rulers of this present darkness. Don't you see it all around us? Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies, the supernatural sphere. This is the true enemy. This is who we fight. Take out your swords, body of Christ, the word of God, and let's begin to war by using the weapons given to us by our Lord. We can resist the enemy whenever and wherever he attacks, but we have to be aware of what and who is attacking us. We must be aware that it isn't just something of an emotional nature within our minds or some person who wants to do us in. We must understand who our enemy is whenever and whoever he attacks. And when all the smoke clears, we will still be standing. But again, we must believe that the word of God has been given to us to show us how to do warfare. Ephesians 6:10 explains clearly, put on the whole armor of God, for we are fighting not natural man, but spirits in high places, the supernatural work of the enemy. But we have the supernatural work within us of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Truly, he has already overcome. We have the ability to overcome, but we must walk in it. We must believe it. We must rush into it as soldiers of God running after the enemy in war. The tactics we have been taught are clean and pure and good and mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Know who you are. Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Do you know that that victory has already been granted unto you to overcome in spirit, mind, and body? But too many Christians are being attacked and don't realize that that attack is not from God, but from the evil one of their soul, because the demons want to war against their soul. They want to attack God's children, God's people. They desire to destroy, kill, and steal. Devils come in ranks much like our military forces in the natural world. They are well organized and thousands of times better than man's church today. That's why deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, have been written to show you, to help you to understand that this is a fact in the church today. They are not organized. They are not ready to do this kind of warfare unless we gather together now and begin to understand our position and talk to our pastors if they are not teaching these things. And if they are not, then please order Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, on Amazon. Get the book and hand it to your pastor and say, would you read this, please? Because I think it's time that our Lord calling out for an organized body to do warfare as the army of the Lord. You see, they know exactly what they are doing, the army of the enemy, and are extremely efficient in their diabolical work, even in the church in which you go to. You may see it if you have discernment of spirit. What we do here on earth is an imitation of what already exists in the heavenlies, both for good and for evil. Oh, I don't know if you have yet understood the workings of the enemy. Maybe you have, and maybe we can join forces in the spirit. It doesn't have to be physical. It has to be in the spirit, where we are of the same mind, the same judgment, the same understanding of God's word. And we come together in the spirit realm, and we war together in the spirit realm against the evil forces of this world that are coming in droves against the body of Christ. You see, I believe man receives his instructions from the holy angels of God and from the unholy angels of Satan through what we term the subconscious. That's what psychologists term the subconscious. We term it the soul of man. The unholy spirits, if you can understand, fallen angels stay in ranks as they did when they were angels of God before the rebellion and fall of Lucifer. They were angels in ranks. It talks about it in Daniel. After which they were cast out of heaven. They understand ranks. They understand the unholy angels, understand and exist today in the dominion of the heavenlies of the earth's realm. You know, these spiritual beings, like their leader, are very cunning. They've already understood warfare. Satan, of course, is their head. And ranking beneath him are the ruling devil spirits. This fact needs to be remembered as we come forth and begin to cast out devils. We must understand who we're fighting, and we must know that we have been empowered to do so. I cannot say it enough. I cannot give you what the Lord has shown me in any other way than to express my heart, understanding that the ranks of evil are about in this earth and are accumulating and bringing unto them multitudes of human beings to be in ranks against the church of God. You need to discern who the ruling spirits are. They are the ones that have taken control and brought lesser serving devils along with them. Do you hear it? Do you discern that the ruling spirits are the ones that have taken control and brought lesser devils along with them? These ruling devils and their followers are given satanic authority over nations, not just human beings. Yes, it will reflect over human beings, but they're ruling over nations. Nations that are serving the wrong God. Nations that have not yet understood the true and living God, Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit. Nations that have taken on other gods. They also rule over cities. Spirits also rule over cities. They're called ruling spirits, if you haven't understand the way they operate. They rule over organizations, such as the Illuminati, such as others that we will mention later. They rule over churches. These ruling demons and spirits rule over families, especially families that are known to be very powerful in the world. And there are lesser devils that are given authority over individuals. Now they go about their areas of assignment, seeking opportunity to destroy. And if they can find nothing in you, no sin, they are powerless to enter in and destroy. Well, you may say, we sin all the time. No. Do you sin as much as you used to? Have you not overcome certain sin issues in your life and walk in a greater glory? And if there is still sin within you and you find yourself in a position of not being able to overcome certain sin in your life, then get deliverance. Get delivered. Be bold and go to someone that can help you cast out that devil that has tormented you through fear. Because you must realize that you have given them the legal right through sin to operate against your life. Let's go back there again. But if they find sin, this is their open door, and they will attack with all boldness and destructiveness because you have given them the legal right through sin. But if you have been praying and seeking the Lord and asking Him for deliverance, He will bring you there. He will give you someone who will be wanting to help in this area. I must repeat this. Only through sin do these spirits controlled by Satan have power. So, do we walk without sin? Well, in Romans 6, it says that we should die to sin and go and sin no more. God forbid if we do. We have been given grace. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to overcome sin, to overcome the flesh, to overcome the devil, to overcome evil spirits, even the ruling spirits. Now, have you been taught this? Have you been given opportunity to learn about this? Or have you just believed that you will be a sinner all your life? And that's the way it goes, but you receive Jesus Christ into your life, therefore you will go to heaven. That's erroneous teaching. Yes, heaven lies before you, but you must be born again. You must come into the realm of truth and life by overcoming your sin nature. You have been granted the power through the Holy Spirit to do so. But if you find yourself incapable, then you need deliverance. Again, that's why the book was written. Go find a friend. Go seek someone who could bring you through this deliverance. If you have a certain sin repeated over and over again in your life, and you find yourself in bondage, and you can't get released from it, and you have prayed, and you have sought counsel, you need deliverance from someone who knows how to bring deliverance to your life. It's a deliverance ministry. And the book has been written so that you may enter into this ministry yourself and help others out of their dilemma. Only through sin do these spirits control by Satan's power. So we could have victory over sin too. Yes, we can. And we can walk without fear in our lives. But do we know it? Do we understand it? Are we prepared by the blood of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what, it is time. It is time. You should just pray, I'm ruling and reigning over all the good works that God has ordained that I should walk in. Believe these things that I have been telling you. Become a prayer warrior. Become a deliverer. Know who your enemy is. You are loved so much. God wants you to have the victory. This is His heart. And if you have questions regarding what you have heard, email me at Patricia Joy Xavier, XAVIER, @gmail.com. I'll be happy to answer your questions. If you order Deliverance, the from Amazon, it will transform your life. God bless you. You are loved.